Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your mother f***ing ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 170 of the Stone Age Gamer podcast for the week of October 6th, 2017. I am Chris Rantendazzo, and joining me, as always, is floating one-eyed red orb, Dan Ryan.
That's much better. It's much better than the one that we just had to edit out.
As part of Geekade's 31 Days of Halloween, Dan and I are going to do mini retrospectives on a couple of horror-themed games, starting this week with Doom. But before we go any further, here's your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com. Just include the word Stone Age Gamer in the subject line. You can let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello, because we always want to hear from you, the Doom guy. Doom, how are you?
So, I gotta be honest, a little upset when you said we were gonna talk about Doom this week. Thought we were gonna talk about Ron Simmons and Butch Reed and their tag team in WCW and the NWA.
It took like 13 words into that sentence for me to know what the hell you were talking about.
I mean, like, cause I didn't think we were talking about like the Legion of Doom, cause I assume you would have written Legion of and then Doom. Yeah. I thought this was just gonna be a wrestling podcast, Chris, and I'm a little disappointed.
You know, Dan, you have your very own wrestling podcast on Geekade.com.
I do not. I do. Well, no, I do. I do. Eventually, this
tune into Backdrops and Body Slams every never.
Every never. That's coming out right after Bags and Boards.
Dean says he's gonna start doing Backdrops and Body Slams. He's gonna start doing it on his own.
I hope he does.
He's gonna get a professional Dan Ryan.
He's gonna get a me, just somebody that comes on and goes, "Bah, fuck, dude, bah," and just that's it. I feel like that's what I.
You do a horrible you impression.
That's not what I sound like at all. Fuck, there's a better me out there, son of a bitch. I feel like that's what I contribute to the conversation mostly. Other than that, I'm great, Chris. It was my birthday on Monday. So I'm now old, but my smoking hot wife went way overboard, like so out of bounds on presents, out of control. But I have a new iPhone and a PS4 Pro, so you know.
What are you doing with your old PS4?
Going up in the bedroom. Huh? The bedroom PS4.
Second tier.
The second tier PS4. I did also get I got some more Funko Pops for the collection. I'm very excited. I got a 1-1, the Game of Thrones giant, and he's all like stuck full of arrows. It's kind of awesome. He stands next to Tyrion, which just makes those are the only two Game of Thrones pops that we have, but those are really the only two that we should have, I think, at this point.
Are they approximately the same size?
No, they're complete, like Tyrion's the smallest one, like he's tinier than the rest, and 1-1's one of the giant pops. It's pretty sweet.
Oh, okay.
I also got the first of the Golden Girls pops because I had not gotten any yet, which made me really sad. But I got a rose, which is awesome.
Nice.
And Bob Ross with a clear acrylic paint palette. Fucking awesome. It's so cool. I love it. Yeah, a little paintbrush. It's adorable.
And calming, I'll bet.
Yeah, it is very kind. Like, I look at him and I'm just like, oh. Like, as I'm looking at the pop right now, and in my mind, I can hear him cleaning the brush.
You can hear the fan brush.
Thuck, that thing that he did, like, on the.
I'm just going to pick up the fan brush, put a happy little tree.
Happy little tree. So good. Good.
I used to watch the hell out of that show.
Oh, I still watch the hell out of that show. Are you kidding? All over everywhere.
It is.
Just type in Bob Ross,
which
and it's
is weird.
Free.
How did that become a thing?
Because it's great. Because it's great. Anyway, I got a bunch of other stuff, too. Going to see Lewis Black this weekend. I'm really fucking excited about it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I'm so excited.
I am not going to see Lewis Black this weekend. I am, however, I've been playing some games. I have instilled a nightly chicken wiggle. My goal is to play one level of Chicken Wiggle before I go to bed each night. I skipped out on that last night because as we're recording this week's episode, I was falling asleep.
Ah.
I was actually asleep for a portion of the episode at some point.
It's why it's our highest rated podcast.
Somewhere during the news, like, I was playing video games in the background to try to keep myself awake, and even that wasn't working. Like, I was done. I was so cooked, and I just went straight to bed. So I missed that, but I'm like, you know, four levels into Chicken Wiggle. Mm-hmm. It is a delightful game, and I love it. I wish it was on Switch, but yeah, I'll take it where I can get it.
I'll take my Chicken Wiggle
where I can get it.
I was going to say, I also try to get in a nightly Chicken Wiggle. Try to keep things regular, you know.
It's a really cool game. It's it's Jules Watson. It's Atui. It's the people who did Mutant Muds, which was just announced on Switch, which I'm probably not going to buy because I played the original Mutant Muds and I really liked it at the time. But by the time that game was done, I was so done with it because it got stupid hard.
It is,
and they
very hard.
It is. It's a really, really, really hard game. And then they released that super challenge thing, and I didn't go anywhere near that.
No.
Because I'm looking at, like, is this harder? harder mode? No. I don't want that.
Is this harder than the impossible game that you already made?
I would like more Mutant Muds. Like, I would like a new Mutant Muds game. That would be great. Sure. But every time they release something else, Mutant Muds, it's just like, well, here's the grandma stages. It's the same stages, but harder. And I'm tagging out. I get that people do like that, but I would take like an actual like full on sequel to Mutant Muds with new mechanics and new interesting stuff. But it also has some sort of like puzzle game in there too, which looks neat. But I have puzzle games on my Switch, so I'm good. Yeah. I'm gonna leave that one be. I gave Atui my money for Chicken Wiggle. And if they had ported Chicken Wiggle to Switch, I'd stop playing on 3DS right now and wait for it to come out on Switch. But as it stands now, I'm still using my 3DS, which I don't want to do anymore. Every time I hold that thing, the whole time I'm playing Metroid, I'm like, I'm done with this platform. I'm done with this low resolution screen. I'm done with these cramped controls. Even like I have an XL, and even then, it's like, I've played Switch now. I'm spoiled on what a handheld can be. Like, even the Vita feels cramped to me now. So it's hard going back to that, but Chicken Wiggle is worth it.
Yeah, you keep the iPhone SE? All right, whatever.
Because I don't play games on it. No. I need it to be big. Fair. I need to read text. That's fair. I need to read things. That's it. That's all there is to it. I also went for a little walk yesterday when I was at work. I just had to get away from my desk for a minute. So I walked around and I listened to Nintendo Voice Chat, which is IGN's Nintendo podcast, which is a really great podcast. I know there's a lot of the internet that likes to give IGN shit, and honestly, I don't do much on their website, but I do listen to this website, podcast, and I love it. The guys on there typically know a lot of what they're talking about, and they give really good analysis of what's going on. So I was listening to that, and they were talking about Picross S for Switch, which I mentioned last week that I was so excited to get. I got it. It's phenomenal. What I didn't know was what they mentioned on the show was that there's a two-player mode.
No shit.
And I thought, a two-player mode in Picross? I wonder what that's about. So last night, my son John was, he said, can you play Picross? Because he loves it when I solve the puzzles and it shows you what the picture is. Like it goes out to the grid, it colors it all in and whatnot. It's neat. So I was like, sure, Karen, would you like to play with me? And she said, sure. How does this work? And I said, well, I don't know, but let's find out. So I give her one of the Joy-Cons. I take the other one, and I'm looking at the screen. There's no, like, two-player mode. Like, there wasn't something on the options menu. So I just launched up a game to see what happens. And the two-player mode is full-on co-op. It's just have two cursors on the same Picross, and the two of you work together to solve it. And you don't get in each other's way, per se. Like, you would think it would be kind of weird doing it two at the same time, but there's always seems to be enough room for us both to be doing things at different sides of the Picross at a time, and we were blasting through the puzzles. It was really great.
That's kind of awesome.
It is really, really cool. I can't wait to get to the bigger ones. Like, we're still in the 10x10s right now, but once we get to, like, the 20x25s or something, Like, there's going to be plenty of room for us both to just be farting around and doing whatever. So I was really impressed with that. The two-player mode in that is great. It's absolutely wonderful.
That's pretty
so
sweet.
Picross S gets my highest recommendation. It's $8 on the Switch. It is so completely freaking worth it. I nabbed a Super NES Classic.
Mm-hmm.
I had mine pre-ordered, and I went out and got it, and I have it. It's adorable. It's sitting right next to my NES Classic right now. I'm looking right at it.
Looks good.
It looks great. It
plays
it
well.
It's precious.
Yeah. No, I meant it looks good on the HDTV.
Oh, on the TV,
yeah,
it looks great. The only thing that I've found that I do not care for is because I've been a stickler for Yoshi's Island. Like, I've been really, really focused on that game.
Mm-hmm.
There's one piece of weirdness in that where the touch fuzzy get dizzy level, when you actually get the moment where you touch the fuzzy, it starts the effect like normal, except the one of the layers of the background disappears for like a frame.
Hmm.
It's really weird. It's very jarring. But you know, obviously, if you don't know the level already, you wouldn't even notice that it's a weird.
Yeah,
thing.
I have no idea what you're talking about. So.
Okay, so there's a stage. That's right, you're not a Mario fan. You're going to love this. There's a stage.
I don't
in Yoshi's
think
Island
I will. That's why I'm not a Mario fan. But okay.
In Yoshi's Island for Super Nintendo, there is a stage called Touch Fuzzy Get Dizzy.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts off like any normal stage, little, you know, bad guys jump on and doing whatnot. And then you get to like the halfway point, and all these little white, little cloud, fuzzy cloud looking things start floating across the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And if you touch one of them, you get high, like completely friggin' stoned. Yoshi's pupils dilate. He starts like stumbling around. Like if you stand still, he's like, he's drunk. He's just sways to the right, sways to the left. All the background gets like acid trip, starts changing colors and gets all super wavy. It is a crazy effect. And like,
that's super weird.
Yoshi's on drugs. You touch the fuzzy, you get stoned. And it just keeps happening. And like, you can kind of use it to your advantage because the whole world distorts around you. So like, if you're trying to get to something that's high above you, you can like wait until the ground warps up like a hill kind of, and you can jump off of that higher point and grab some coins. Like, it's a brilliant stage, and it is so weird because it's like, you're getting stoned.
That's really odd.
And like, if you eat one, like if you just run into it, it disappears in a puff of smoke and goes burr, burr, and like everything goes crazy. But if you decide to just eat one with your tongue,
sure,
he'll fart it out and still get high.
That's actually, I know you're not big into that scene, Chris. That's actually how it happened. I'm not big into it either, but I've seen documentaries.
I've seen documentaries where people touch the fuzzies and get dizzy.
They get dizzy.
Out of their butts.
Their nightly chicken wiggle.
I'm going to send you a video of this. It'll crack your shit up because it's so unexpected. It's genuinely hilarious. But other than that, Yoshi's Island has played perfectly. Every game that I've played on it so far has played flawlessly. In fact, Kirby's Dream Course was the first game I played on it.
Not
because
Star
that's
Fox?
The one my
really
it's the one my son picked.
Okay.
Well, Star Fox 2, you have to play the first stage of Star Fox in order to unlock it.
Okay.
And my son just saw Kirby and was like, I want to play that one. I was like, okay, I haven't played Dream Course in a while. I freaking love that game. So I booted that up, and on the Wii U Virtual Console version of it, and I think it's the Wii U and the Wii Virtual Console version of it, there's this strange thing that happened, and I had never gone back to test it on my original cartridge,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't think it was there. When you hold down the Y button so that you can move around the map, the screen gets darker. And it's weird because every time I would do that when playing on a virtual console, I thought, did it do that in the original game? Because I don't remember this, and it's kind of obnoxious. Well, it doesn't do that on the Super NES Classic. It just moves full color without dimming the screen. So, hooray. I still would like to go back and double-check my
Hurrah.
Cartridge version just to be sure, but that made me really happy. So that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Then I wound up staying up really late that night playing Star Fox 2. Which is really awesome.
Is it? You know, I'm happy that it is. as much as I shit on Star Fox, because I genuinely do not care for it. I am happy that it's at least good and people aren't like, aw. You know, because like, we've been waiting our whole fucking lives for this shit. It's going to be awesome. It's like if...
I mean, it's super ambitious. Like,
well, sure. But like, if I went to see Guns N' Roses now, I'd be like, aw, fuck. Like, I mean, they were there. You know, like, do you remember on the MTV Video Awards, like, oh, God, like, 10 years ago now at this point when, like, Jimmy Fallon was hosting and came out and he was like, Guns N' fucking Roses! And, like, everybody was so excited and they were awful. Like,
I actually don't remember.
Oh, my God,
all.
It was so bad. Like, Axl couldn't hear himself in the monitor, so he was, like, fucking, the pitch was off hard. Oh, God, it was horrendous.
Yeesh. That's painful.
It really, really was, and everybody was just like, oh, man.
Oh. No, like I said, it is extraordinarily ambitious. And this would have been, I think this, even with being so close to the N64 and one, I still think it would have been impressive if it had come out back when it was released, when it was supposed to be, because when you look at what this game is trying to do, like, it's not on rails anymore.
Really?
It's like, yeah, everything is free roaming, and wow, like, so you get into these dog fights, which are pretty simplistic, which I'm okay with because I'm terrible at dog fighting. So like, basically, like, you'll get into run-ins with Star Wolf and they'll just kind of basically fly right at you over and over again. I'm like, all right, cool, I can handle this.
I got this.
But yeah, it's a very different game than the original Star Fox. It's not just a bunch of on-rail stages. It's like all these kind of just open play. It reminds you a little bit more of, like, you know, TIE Fighter and those old games. It's all like, you've got this map and Corneria is under attack, and kind of like in UN Squadron, where the stages are moving, like there's like trucks and planes and stuff heading towards your base.
Yeah.
So you always have to, like, you try to progress forward in the map to get to Venom, but at the same time, you also have to keep going back and attacking these, like, missiles and other ships that are getting closer to Corneria. So you have to keep your eyes on this map the whole time. Like, you can be in the middle of a stage, like a long level where you're trying to accomplish something, but you can press pause to see what's going on in your map, because that stuff keeps happening during the stages too. So, like, you can abort a mission so that you can stop some missiles from landing on Corneria, or stop some, you know, giant gunship from firing a giant laser on Corneria. And it's really interesting, and I wasn't planning on staying up all night playing it, but I was up till like 1, which to me is all night because I'm old. But I was up late playing that thing, and because it was really, I just didn't want to put it down. I was really interested in it. The music's not quite as good as the original Star Fox, but it's the same, you know, style.
Right.
It's just not quite as memorable, but I'm thrilled with it. I'm fascinated by it. It's such a cool game. It's really interesting looking. Obviously, it runs at like 10 frames per second, and I don't think that's an exaggeration. I think it actually runs at 10 frames per second.
Wow. That's,
yeah, it's kind of brutal.
That's not,
like,
ideal.
In some of the bosses and stuff, like, some of the bosses are in these rooms, and it's like you can turn into like the chicken walker thing, and it's like it's brutal. It is amazing that this game can function, much like Doom on Super Nintendo, which we'll probably talk about a little bit in a little bit. But yeah, it's kind of amazing that this game works, and I'm sad that it wasn't released back then, because I think it would have been pretty impressive.
Well, all right.
You know, but as a piece of history, I love it, and I'm looking forward to spending more time with my Super Nintendo Classic, just, you know, when I have more time. Other than that, I'm still trying to finish Sonic Mania. I think I'm on the second to last world, and my Eskimo Bob NES game showed up in the mail.
Oh, yeah, I remember you talking about that.
Yeah, I went ahead and kickstarted it, and I did the whole box and manual and everything, and it looks great. I haven't tried the game yet because I don't have an NES plugged into anything right now, but I'm looking forward to it. It's super cool. I have an Eskimo Bob game.
Because why not?
All right, so let's get to our feature topic, since we just spent a while yammering on about things.
We don't ever yammer.
As we do.
We
You and I are professional yammerists. Thank you.
Professional yammerists. I like it. I like it. And it's fucking accurate. That's
it
true.
Is. It is as accurate as it gets. All right, so what we're going to do for Geekade's 31 Days of Halloween is the next 3 weeks we're going to go over just little mini retrospectives on some horror series that we love. And I picked all three of them, but I picked the second one for next week because I know Dan loves it. And I picked this one because I love it. I don't know what Dan's experience with this. So today we're going to talk about the Doom series. I freaking love Doom so much. I love the original Doom and Doom 2 Hell on Earth. I absolutely love those games. So let's have a chat, shall we?
Shall we?
This is great. So I opened up a bunch of this is hilarious. I opened up a bunch of Wikipedia windows in my browser. Mm-hmm. And since there's so many of them, they're all like truncated. So the top of my screen on my computer right now just says doom, 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 doom,
doomy, doomy, doom, doom,
doomy, doom, doom.
If that is not in this episode somewhere, I am going to be fucking mad.
I gotta sing the doom song now. Doom, 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 doom.
Would you please stop singing?
Proximity warning. Planet ahead.
Grr! We're here! We're finally here!
You get me the MP3, I'll make it happen.
Okay. Tiff, find Chris an MP3 of Grr saying Doom so we can edit it into the episode.
I'm gonna sing the Doom song now. All right, so id Software released the original Doom on MS-DOS back in 1993, December 10th, 1993. I must have gotten this sometime in 94 mm-hmm. because that was when we got our first PC in our house. And I remember we got a handful of games with our PC. And it was Ultima 6, The False Prophet, The Secret of Monkey Island, something else.
Now, were these actual games that came with it, or were these so my buddy at work copied these for us?
Oh, no, these were actual games. Like, we ordered wherever my dad ordered the PC from, it came with a selection of games. They were all on, official discs and came with the manuals and stuff. And then, at some point later, I came home from school. And my dad was like, you got to see this. And I had never seen anything quite like it before because I had never played Wolfenstein.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah, I'd never seen Wolfenstein 3D. I'd only heard of it. So as soon as I saw Doom running, I was like in love. I was so thoroughly in love with this game. And I still am. I love the original Doom. And oh my God, it's just ridiculous. It's such a ridiculous game. It's all loud music. It's all extremely over-the-top violence.
It's so metal.
It is. It is so metal.
It's the most metal-as-fuck game that there has ever been.
It's seriously, it's one of my favorites. I played the shit out of Doom. I played so much of this thing. I used to use the codes all the time, the IDDQD for the god mode, IDKFA for all the weapons and all the ammo, and IDSPISPOPD for the no clipping mode so you could walk through the walls.
Yep.
And I just learned all of the levels just running around, just being ridiculous. Oh, God, I spent so much time with this game. And it was released on everything. This game was on... All right, so it was on DOS. That was the version I played, was the DOS version. And... Side story, I was talking to Matt Ramo about doing a wave back about we're doing a wave back for Halloween this year,
right.
And he wanted music from Doom. And I was like, yeah, I got the music from Doom because I used At Doom's Gate in last year's Halloween spooky special.
Right.
And I went into my iTunes like, shit, all I have is At Doom's Gate. Why is that? So I started looking
it
up.
All there is.
I couldn't find the DOS version of Doom soundtrack.
Really?
I could find all these other versions that were like remastered, and I said, this doesn't sound like the Doom that I know, because I used to play it on DOS all the time. And what I did was I remembered, like, that's why I only have this song, because what I did was I opened up Doom and I just recorded that song. I played it and I just plugged the
that's awesome.
It took a cable from my headphone port and plugged it into my microphone port and just recorded the sound of the game. And that was how I had that track. So I eventually tracked it down, a version of the original MS-DOS version of the Doom 1 and 2 soundtracks. It just took some digging and a couple of different conversion programs, because the tracks weren't MP3s or anything really that I was familiar with. But right. I made it work, and I finally have the Doom soundtrack, which makes me extremely happy. I was listening to it a lot today.
Nice.
Actually, it's a weird dichotomy, actually. I was listening to that and the Incredible Machine DOS version, because I was also found that on the same site that had the original
Fiona
DOS
Apple
versions of that.
Thing?
Fiona
Apple. Oh, no, that's Extraordinary Machine. Never mind.
Yeah, no. The PC game, the Incredible Machine.
Okay, sorry.
It's like a puzzle game.
Yeah.
It's got really goofy music.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm listening to Doom Death Metal and the Incredible Machine, like, super happy music. It was a very strange day. But
you can understand my confusion. I as I'm sure are very similar to me, are kind of always thinking about Fiona Apple. Like, just always kind of right in the background. It's like, oh, Fiona Apple.
No?
Really? Oh, Jesus, no. Chris.
You're alone on that one.
You, me, and Tori Amos, we're all right there together. No? Okay. That's fine.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know who fucking Tori Amos is?
I know who Tori Amos is. I just don't understand that sentence.
Oh, okay. You will when you're older. See, Chris, when a boy becomes a man.
He listens to Fiona
Apple. He listens to Fiona Apple. Tori Amos.
We're four non-blondes. Anyways, so
Christ.
Doom was released on MS-DOS, 32X, which I have.
Goodness, that's right.
Atari Jaguar, which I have. The Jaguar version's pretty good, but if I remember correctly, it doesn't have any... No, it has music. One of the versions doesn't have freaking music. It might,
wasn't
might
it
be
the
32X
one that didn't? Like,
yeah,
that, and that was the weird thing, because it was like, it's the 32X, but we couldn't...
It
in the song.
It looks great, but where's the music?
Just had to sit in the background, dun, 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 just fucking. I'll make up my own.
It
soundtrack.
Was also, it was released on the Super NES, which still blows my mind that is even playable. Because it shouldn't. I don't want that ridiculous. If you have never played Doom on Super Nintendo, it's like playing Resident Evil 2 on N64. It's like, what sorcery is this?
How is this working? Why
how
is
this functional? This shouldn't be a thing, and yet it is.
And yet it is.
It was released on the PlayStation, 3DO, PC-9801, Sega Saturn, the Acorn, Archimedes, the Game Boy Advance. Oh, I remember when the GBA version of Doom came out. I was like, portable Doom? Yes!
Well, and see, like, what's so awesome about this is that the game was originally released free.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, here, just this is a thing that we made, because they knew at some point they would be able to sell it.
It was the shareware thing,
yeah.
Right? And it was just the first chapter of Knee Deep in the Dead.
Yep.
And oh man, when I eventually bought the full thing and I got to play the other chapters.
Oh, I didn't even realize there were other chapters for years. I just played that.
That's how good it was. Well, because they were listed on the shareware thing. It was like, you can play Knee Deep in the Dead, and then the Shores of Hell and Inferno were listed there, but you couldn't get
it. But I didn't even care. Like, that's how good Knee Deep in the Dead was.
I beat Knee Deep in the Dead, and I was like, I gotta know what's next. There's more. I need it right now. And then when I finally got it, I was not expecting new music. Mm. And then but there was so much more music, and like, it was so good. Oh, that song for the first stage in the Shores of Hell is so freaking good. Oh my god. And that was where the I think that was the first time you saw the Transporters was in the Shores of Hell, because I don't remember them being in the first one, except for maybe in that last thing where you fight the hell demons.
It's been so long. Maybe.
But geez, whoosh, the sound those things make. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. I remember getting to those guys the first time. Those doors open up and they just go, and I'm like, oh my God. And they're like bullet sponges and they're throwing green fireballs at me. And I'm like, oh God, finally killing those guys was outstanding. And then you go through those guys and you're like, all right, What's the next one going to bring on? And it was the fucking, the cyber demon.
Oh, God,
with the
yeah.
rocket launcher. And he's just like shooting rockets everywhere. And they're like basically one hit kills. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, he's so huge. And the sound design in the original Doom is insane. It is so goddamn good. And that was such a big part of why I love the Doom. Like, besides just the way it looked and the way it played and the sense of humor behind the game, because it was so over the top and it knew it. It never took itself too seriously. But the sound design, the sound of the shotgun, mm-hmm. it is the most satisfying shotgun in any game ever. The sound of the chainsaw, all the monsters, the doors opening and closing, like everything about the sound design in the original Doom is absolutely incredible. It's one of my favorite things about it. It's just mind-boggling how awesome this game is.
It really is, and it was so different from everything that came out. And like,
even Wolfenstein.
Wolfenstein is very flat in comparison. I mean, even though it's Wolfenstein 3D, it's still very, very flat. Whereas
you can see the DNA.
Yeah.
Doom was just like it. Doom was Mega Man 2.
It really was. Know? It really
Wolfenstein 3D was Mega Man. Doom was Mega Man 2. Where they were just like, yeah, that's cool, but this is what we were going for.
And then it kind of got hard after that because like Doom 2 came out. And it was like, oh, this is fucking dope too. But there were so many clones of it by that point. Like, I mean, there were just so many like big, loud shooters that came out that it made it somewhat hard to stand out from the pack. Whereas with this original one, it's like, oh shit, I'm walking up steps. Like, and that was mind blowing back then. Like, that was a huge deal. Like, the levels had a variation in height. It was crazy, like, because you had to all of a sudden play a game in a new way of like, I have to actually plan out how I'm going to make my way through this level, because, you know, like fucking like Obi-Wan says, man, don't do it, Anakin. I have the high ground. Mm-hmm. Just don't fucking. I'm going to chop off both of your legs and one of your arms and you're just going to land and go, no, you're going to sound like Evan.
Well, to get to your point on Doom 2 is I didn't really experience that because Doom 2 was only a year later.
Sure. But Doom there were so many clones by that. Like, dude, they were being chunked out.
I didn't really see a lot of clones for Doom until after, like around when Doom 2 came out and after. Like shit like Quarantine and whatnot. But Doom 2, again, was like, it just melted my friggin' brain. It was kind of a more of the samey thing. Mm-hmm. Like, Doom 2 wasn't a huge improvement. It just had a couple of new weapons, like the double-barreled shotgun, which was also extremely impressive. You know, and some new bosses and shit like that. Like, what was the name of that thing? The fire demon thing.
The centaur-looking
so
thing?
Awesome. No. He was he looked like just kind of like a walking flesh guy, like just. And he did that thing where he would do pyrokinesis. He'd just lift up his arms, then you would catch on fire, and then he'd bring his hands together, and you would explode.
Which is some
that
bullshit.
Guy was freaking awesome. And they had like the little mini versions of the spider demon guy that made like this awesome like bow sound when you blew him up, and their little green brains shot out all over the place. Oh my God, I love Doom 2. I love Doom. It's so good.
It is so good. It really is. And maybe my timeline is getting messed up. That's fair. It was a long time ago. But yeah, like I remember so many, like just getting fucking shovelware. You know what I mean? Like just free shit where somebody be like, oh, here's the next fucking thing. And like, you know what I mean? Just.
I know that definitely happened. There were a lot of first-person shooters like Doom at some point, but I don't really remember having much experience with them. I mean, I just wasn't exposed to them. But I was definitely on top of Doom 2 when that came out, and I was thrilled with it. You know, the codes worked in that one too. Mm-hmm. You get the no clipping mode and doing the weird like final boss thing where it was like the big demon head, and if you do no clipping mode, you can like walk through his little brain hole, and there's like a guy's head on a stick in there.
Yeah,
that was Jesus, weird. That was really weird. Fucking weird. And like it was meant to be found too, because he animated when you shot him. He animated.
Oh yeah, they knew. Like that's kind of what I love about about Doom is that it's so self-aware.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it absolutely, they knew what they had made and what they were going for. And they reveled in it. You know?
They did.
But in the best way.
For these two games.
But like, but because, in the best way for those two, not in the way that Duke Nukem did, where it was like, oh, we're so fucking awesome. Look at how big our dick is. Like that, you know, like it stayed Evil Dead 2 and didn't get like any more serious than that, because the premise is just ridiculous. Like in the realm of ridiculousness that video games have, like hell, literal hell, like biblical hell is being fought by a space marine. Like, that is some weird, weird shit. And it's awesome. I mean, it's not as cool as Heretic, but it's awesome.
So next up on the list is Final Doom, which... See, now we're starting to get to Final Doom was kind of, if I'm remembering correctly, Final Doom looked like the original Doom. Like, it used those same assets, but the music stopped being all, like, ridiculous metal and started getting a little moody.
Mm-hmm.
This was where things kind of took a turn for me. I didn't play much of Final Doom because I guess I never really understood it. I just thought it was, like, a kind of like a remaster or level pack or something. And so I just stuck with my Doom 1 and 2. I'm looking at the information about it now, and it seems like it's some kind of, what's the word? I'm looking like, I guess, a standalone thing, kind of like a just extra missions to the original Doom, which I didn't really realize was the case. So I might have to go back and try to play this sometime.
Because it's more Doom.
Yeah, because it's more of the original Doom, and I got no problem with that. I love Doom and Doom 2, so yeah, give me all of your this, pile that stuff on. But the real shift in the series came with the next release, which was Doom 64.
Mm-hmm.
When they announced Doom 64, I basically hit the roof, because I was like, I love Doom, I love Nintendo, exclusive Doom coming to the N64, can't wait.
This is going
to
be the best thing ever.
It's going to be awesome. And then, like, I saw the art direction for it. I was like, whoa, these redesigned characters look sick. This is going to be crazy.
And the double chainsaw.
I got it.
Yes.
And it's not that it was bad. It was just, it was very dark and moody and not what I expected from Doom. You know, like, what I love about Doom is just the ridiculous nature of it. It's just like, you get it, you start the game, and it's just all super stupid violent, and the music is all stupid and loud. It's like just this ridiculous thing. And Doom 64, I remember renting it. I was like, wow, this is dark. Like, I recognize that this is good, but this isn't why I'm here.
Right. This isn't what I, like... Because one of the things we didn't touch on yet is that when Doom came out, it was the center of a ton of, like, news, you know, local film at 11, local news stories of, like, you know, violent video games are turning kids into fucking shitbags and, like, just making us all awful people. And there are certainly, there's an argument to be made for that, and there's a way to do it intelligently. Using Doom and Doom 2 is not a way to make that argument intelligently. It's the same thing with Mortal Kombat. It's so over the top. It's so ridiculous. Nobody looks at Evil Dead 2 and goes, well, there's the problem with the kids in America today. You know what I mean? Like, nobody looks at it that way. But if you used a better example of a film or a video game or whatever, you could make an argument. And Doom 64 was like the first time that the franchise actually was like, okay, like, now you're kind of giving that side of the argument, like, some ammunition here, because you're no longer this fun, ridiculous thing. Like, now you're just kind of violent, but not in a fun, over-the-top way. You're a little serious now, and, like, now we're dealing with, like, now we actually are thinking about, like, okay, well, like, they're battling hell, so this is biblical, so it brings religion into it. I'm like, oh, fuck, stop it. Just be silly. Just be goofy and weird and be Doom, and don't be a real game. Don't be like a thing that you're trying to tell me a story. Space Marine, yeah, like battling
I'm,
Satan.
I'm looking at a YouTube video of Doom 64 right now because I haven't touched this game since, you know, back when it came out.
Right.
And man, I'm looking at it and I still agree. The art direction is freaking awesome. Mm-hmm. Like the redesigns of these characters is freaking great. But yeah, it's just not, it doesn't have that bright, stupid fun vibe to it anymore. I mean, obviously it's an N64 game, so it's not, you know,
so nothing was
or anything
fun
like that. But it's like, you know, like the screen slowly faded out to red, and it's, I want to go back and try this game again. I do. And I don't think it's going to, like, I think I'm looking at some sort of modified version because it's running extremely smoothly and nothing on the N64 runs smoothly.
No, it's probably somebody playing an emulated version.
Yeah, this is running. This is running on some sort of like deep emulation. But man, this was like the kind of the start of Doom taking itself seriously.
Yeah,
and I didn't want that out of Doom. Like that's just not what I played it for. So I was kind of saddened by Doom 64.
I never played it. Obviously, not having the 64 and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I kind of skipped this one. I did play the next one in the series. Are we talking about that before commercials?
Yeah, this will be the last one we hit before our break. So the next game in the series, Doom 64 hit in 1997. And then things were quiet until 2004
7 years.
Doom.
I mean, like,
yeah,
it's a long time for a gigantic franchise.
Yeah. And it was essentially a reboot for the series, even though it's called Doom 3. But yeah, Doom 3 was released on Windows and Linux, and then in 2005 it hit the original Xbox. And I remember at the time this came out, I was really excited about it, because I was like, yay, new Doom, I love Doom, hooray Doom! And then I saw like what it looked like, and I was like, okay, it's really dark, but man, is it impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, when this game came out, this was like all people were talking about was like, this is the new bar for graphics and video games. This shit looks ridiculous.
And it did at the time. I mean, it was crazy detailed when you could see it.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Like, it's really, really dark. And I kind of feel like that was part of why this game worked so was so impressive, because they didn't need to put a ton of detail into a lot of stuff because, well, it's was so dark, you know, they didn't need to draw all the details because it's all darkness and
covered
stuff
in shadow. I mean, it almost made it unplayable at certain points. Like,
yeah,
it made it very, very unfair to play because you couldn't react, you couldn't plan, you couldn't do anything. It was too goddamn dark.
Yeah, I did not play a lot of this game. I played a little bit of it. I bought it on my Xbox. I was super excited for it because, like I said, I'm a huge Doom fan. But this was a step even further in that direction of Doom 64,
mm-hmm,
where the game was taking itself seriously. And again, that's not what I'm here for. It's it looked incredible, and I loved the idea of this world. But if they're gonna try to do something like this and take this world this seriously and do this kind of crazy shit, then you're going to have to modernize other aspects of it too. And they kind of didn't. Like, this game was notorious for still having the monster closets where that would show up in the original Doom. Like,
yeah,
you'd walk into a room and then there's just this little closet that's chock full of monsters that are just waiting. Their only purpose is to sit there and wait for you to get near that room so they could bust out of,
mm-hmm,
it. Like, if you're going to put the rest of this world together, you've got to kind of apply a little bit of logic, and they didn't do that. No. And, you know, I'm looking at it now, and the monster designs are super cool and whatnot, but it's very, very gray. There's not very much color in this world. Even the red blood isn't bright red anymore.
No.
It's all like, it's all dark. It's all darkness. And this was kind of this is a product of its time. You know, this is what everyone was doing at the time. Everything was dog shit brown and gunmetal gray. And Doom definitely fell into that trap and maybe even started a bunch of it because it was so impressive at the time. But yeah, this game did not do it for me. I wanted it to, but it did not.
I enjoyed the time I spent with it. it didn't knock my socks off the way that the original Doom did, you know, it, because it was just, I don't think that Doom 3 did anything other than graphics, but at the time when, this is 2004, you said, right? So
yeah,
in 2004, graphics alone are not enough to make me like be like, oh, this game's fucking great. Like, we had, there'd been plenty of games with great graphics by that point.
I wanted,
you know, PS3 and PS and Xbox 360s out.
No, this is Xbox.
Or Xbox.
This was Xbox versus PS2. And I remember that being a thing, like, oh, why isn't this coming to PS2? And they're like, well, we'd have to make some serious sacrifices to get this up and running on PS2.
Well, that's right. Like, wasn't there a BFG edition or a HD edition or something like that was PS3?
Yeah, this did eventually come out. Where is this page? Yeah, BFG edition hit PS3, 360, and Windows. Mm. But the original Doom 3 was just Xbox. There was like an expansion for it on Xbox and Windows. It didn't hit PlayStation until the next generation in 2012.
Right. But I mean, even so, even with PS2 level graphics, I mean, God of War and God of War 2 were on PS. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like,
I've seen games that look really good by that point. That's not going to be enough.
Shit, Metal Gear Solid 2.
Mm-hmm. You know, so it just... it kind of lost it for me because like you said, it was so serious. So serious.
Yeah, it didn't seem to feel like it had the same soul, and it wasn't fun to me anyway. I didn't have fun playing it.
It's like the Resident Evil movies. Like, this doesn't work because you're making it serious and this is fucking stupid. Like, Tyrant is fucking stupid. I love it. Like, don't get, and this is where like you and I differ in Resident Evil, like where you, and we'll talk about this in a couple weeks more in depth, but like where I kind of fell off of it when 4 hit, because it wasn't the silly, goofy horror movie thing that I liked anymore. It became this like serious thing, and like, no, fucking stop. Hmm. This isn't serious. This isn't fun anymore. Tyrant is inherently
stupid. It was the first time it was actually fun for me to play. Like, that was the thing. I liked the world of Resident Evil. I liked the stupid of Resident Evil, but the game itself was not fun to play. I had zero fun playing.
I always wanted to grow up and drive tanks. So
I got my fill of that in combat for Atari 2600.
Well, that's fair. That's fair.
All right, let's take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the rest of the Doom situation. Oh well, I was going to wait till after the break to talk Doom 3. Oh well, whatever.
What we get for being professional yammerists.
Yeah, the professional yammerist right now. You're listening to the Stone Age Gamer podcast from Geekade.com, so stick around.
First up, it's October, Chris. Did you know?
I didn't know that.
You didn't?
Shit, I gotta change my calendars.
You really do. It is October, and 31 Days of Halloween has taken over Geekade first. If you're a geek of a certain age like we are, you probably remember reading scary stories to tell in the dark as a kid. Contributors from all across Geekade have come together to recreate those scarific stories in audio form. Look for the posts containing the gruesome artwork from the original printing of the book every day throughout the month of October. Of Shocktober. Ooh.
Shocktober.
Because scared...
Rocktober.
Scaredtober doesn't work.
Blocktober?
Blocktober? Knocktober.
Knocktober. I just want knockwurst. Mm. It all comes October back
Fest.
To sausage.
There you go. It all comes back to the sausages and beer.
Then, the author of our horror movie review series, The Macabre Movie Mausoleum, is kicking it into high gear for the scariest month of the year. Alex Azar will be reviewing every episode of the classic horror TV series Tales from the Crypt, and he's going to do it every week in October, and then once a month until he's done or gives up.
That is an insane level of, like, dedication. But I fully
Dude
support
Tales from the Crypt.
Who doesn't?
I fully support it too. Catch up with the Crypt Keeper. Catch up with the Crypt Keeper in Rising from the Crypt. Episode 1, The Man Who Was Death. New installments again post every Sunday in October and will continue monthly after Halloween.
No shit, one of my favorite movies of all time, Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight. I fucking love that movie so much. Thomas Hayden Church is so badass in that movie. So is Billy Zane.
Thomas Hayden Church is awesome.
Billy Zane is amazing in that film for no reason whatsoever. Anyway, it's a really good movie. You should watch it. Finally, the guys from our gaming podcast are getting in on the Halloween action. Dave and Jengas get their pirate and dinosaur costumes on to look at some new magic sets, including Yaxian, maybe.
Sure, why not?
And Iconic Masters. Then they look into their crystal balls to try to see the murky future of Magic's online platform, Magic the Gathering Arena. After that, they move on to Dungeons and Dragons, sharing their scariest stories from campaigns past, spooky tales involving wizards and orcs and warlords and shit. They round out the show with a review of Hero Realms, a unique and fast-paced take on deck-building games. Hear all this and more in You Shall Not Pass Go, Episode 20, Fear and Frights in the Forgotten Realms.
You can catch all this great stuff plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more right now at Geekade.com. And we are back. Thank you for listening to our commercials. Or if you fast-forwarded them, thank you for bothering to listen to this back half of the podcast.
You really shouldn't fast-forward through the commercials, though, because there's some gold in them.
There
are commercials.
We put some real effort into not putting any effort into them at all.
I don't know why they always end up being read in voices, though. Like, we don't do them... Because we don't do them in our podcast voice, because we both have podcast voice on all the time.
I think it's just because we're reading them, and they're so stupid.
They really
like
are.
Karen has been writing the bulk of them for this week's episode, and for a while there, I used to like kind of make my own versions for this show, and I've gotten so lazy, I just copy-paste them and bring them right over. And like I said, last night, I was kind of asleep for this part, so... I remember reading the one that I read, but I had no, like that Jengas one that you just read for You Shall Not Pass Go, no recollection of it in the least. Like, not at all. Not even vaguely familiar to me.
Well, you see, Chris, when you become the number one retro gaming podcast in the world, you can afford to rest on your laurels a little bit.
Or so we hear.
Or so I've been told by Retro Gaming Podcast Monthly, a magazine I subscribe to, and you should too.
Is that a thing?
I have no idea, Chris.
Well, it should be.
I make up most of what I say. I don't own any video game systems.
I've never played a video game in my life.
I assume Puzzle and Dragons is a thing. I don't actually know.
Never played it. So getting back to Doom. Let's see. We were talking Doom 3. It got itself some expansions. La, la, la. Doom 2016. Dan, have you played
it? No, I've never played it.
Oh, I haven't either.
Damn it.
But I remember when the trailer for this came out. Well, I mean, I don't have anything that can play.
Oh, I do. I just haven't.
You do. I remember when the trailer for this came out. You know what? I shat my pants, and then I shat the pants of everyone around me. Mm-hmm. I always started borrowing people's pants to poop in because...
This is why I don't let you borrow pants.
I was so, so excited because it looks gorgeous. Mm-hmm. It looked fast. It looked fun and loud and obnoxious and colorful and red. It was like they finally made a modern version of the original Doom.
Yeah.
Like they said, nah, screw this taking shit seriously. Like, it's going to be gruesome and realistic and violent because that's where graphics are now. But it's also going to be crazy over the top. And oh my God. Oh my God. It looks so good. It was one of the games that I was like convincing me to get a PlayStation 4. It was just so high on that priority list.
Well, Bethesda really like... With this and the Wolfenstein that came out, And then the second one, I forget whatever the Wolfenstein sequel was or prequel, whatever the fuck it was. Like, people love those games. Like, not even love those games and like, oh, these are really cool, you should check it out. But like, these are legitimately great games.
Yeah.
It does look gorgeous.
And it's
gorgeous.
Like they looked back at what made... It's like they remembered what made Doom successful in the first place, and it was that it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've heard about this game, is that it is fun to play. It is genuinely awesome. It's good action. It's a great first-person shooter, and it is fun to play. I'm not into first-person shooters, but you better believe that I was excited to get my hands on Doom when it came out. So, obviously, I don't have a PlayStation 4, but when they announced that Doom was coming to the Switch, I lost my shit. And I believe I talked about it on the show a little bit, too, yep. Around after that Nintendo Direct. And I'm almost as excited as I am for Mario Odyssey. Like, it is number two, and not even, like, far off number two.
Two
like,
games that could really not be any more similar.
They're almost identical.
Almost
really.
Identical experiences you'll have with Odyssey and Doom.
And like, it's been a long time since I've bought a new game that I just straight up can't play around the kids.
Yeah,
I can't.
Yeah,
cannot play this when the kids are awake.
No.
So, but I have my big screen in the basement, and after the kids go to bed, when this game comes out, I am going to spend time down here on the Switch in the dark. Playing Doom, and I am going to be happy as a pig and shit. I cannot wait to play this damn game. And I'm so excited that I finally get to, because a PS4 is just not on the horizon for me. I can't justify the purchase. As much as I want to have one, there's like a small handful of games on it. And I joke about Bubsy being number one. Mm. Really, the number one is Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yeah.
Like, God damn, I want that game.
Oh, dude, you have no idea. Like, opening up the Pro on my birthday, like unwrapping that, one of the first thoughts I had was, I cannot wait to play FighterZ on this. Because, I went back and re-downloaded Rise of the Tomb Raider, and mm-hmm. I've just been walking around looking at shit. The difference is fucking staggering. And it shouldn't be, because that game was already gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
kinda like
staggering.
What to bring that back to Doom, like that's what the kind of mixed things that I've been hearing about this Switch version, like wow, it's you know, they're it's pretty impressive they got it running on Switch, and like, oh, it's only 30 frames per second, huh? Well, that's shit. I'm thinking, like, the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
30 frames, if it's a solid 30 frames per
second,
that's
all that matters.
I'm good.
Yeah.
That I don't need it to be 60 frames per second. And the video they showed on the Nintendo Direct, I was impressed. That's good enough for me, because I'm not going to be playing it next to a PlayStation 4 version.
Right.
I'm going to play on it on its own, and it ain't ugly on its own. It looks awesome.
It really does.
I'm excited.
It looks great. I'm so happy that it's coming to Switch, too. Like, I'm very, very happy that Nintendo has a system that is going to compete with everybody else, because, again, it's just going to be better for everybody.
I mean, there's a large portion of the Doom community that's stoked to have it portably, and like,
yeah,
that's cool. Like, you're gonna have portable Doom. It's been a while since like the GBA day since we've had a proper portable Doom, and I know people are gonna double dip on it, and I also have to believe that there's a lot of people like me who didn't play it that are interested in it, because it was one of those, Doom is one of those games that was really, really important back in the day, and it was really important on like PCs, and it came out on Super Nintendo, it came out on N64 and on PlayStation, and there's got to be more people like me who don't have a PlayStation 4 or an Xbox One who are interested in Doom, and I hope it does well. I feel like it will. I have a good feeling about it, because it's getting a lot of buzz, a lot of people are talking about
it.
I know I'm buying it. I will go out and buy a physical copy of that, and because the box art is just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's just freaking ridiculously awesome. So, yeah, I'm excited. I am excited.
Are you excited?
I'm excited.
I wasn't sure.
I'm excited.
Right, that's good.
All right. So, let's close things out with a trio of bullshit.
What the
so
fuck
there
is
are more Doom
RPG?
Games out there.
There are more Doom games out there, and apparently they're not bad, but I will never know because I cannot see myself spending the time on them. There are three mobile Doom games. Doom RPG, which looks really awful because it's like old.
It looks terrible.
And then you have, it just looks bad. Doom Resurrection and Doom 2 RPG. Doom 2 RPG looks kind of cool. Like, visually looks cool. I still don't think it looks like a super fun game, but I dig the look of it. It's just, it reminds me of the original Dooms. And then you have Doom Resurrection. I don't even know what this one is.
It's a shooter.
Meh.
It's an iPhone game and it looks good, but, I mean, that's not weird. There are plenty of iPhone games that look good.
Yeah, exactly. And do you control it with a? Well, let's take a look here. Let's jump on the old YouTube here. I watched some video of the Doom 1 and 2 RPGs before the show because I was interested in them.
You control it with your
mind.
Wow,
this guy on this review is from 2009. So he's, man, I forgot what the old iPhones looked like.
They're shit. Old. Don't buy them.
All right, so here we are. Tap to continue, and I don't understand what he's... Is he using... No. Oh, okay. I see. This is in, like, demo mode or something. Oh, God. Oh.
Ugh.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No, 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 no. It looks like House of the Dead.
Oh.
Like,
that's not a good thing.
Like, the monsters look like House of the Dead, but it's not funny like House of the Dead is. Yeah, this looks like an old cell phone game, back before they figured out what works on a cell phone and what doesn't. Mm. So, yeah, no, Doom Resurrection looks like hot garbage. If we're wrong, please let us know. But to me, it looks like shit. The Doom RPGs, though, they're kind of interesting. Like, again, they don't really seem like they're for me, but they have this kind of turn-based thing to them. Like, you move, it's all in first person like Doom, and the visual style is like the original games.
Okay.
But like, you kind of move in a grid, and the only thing I saw him fighting was like dogs and shit. Mm. But you picked up an axe and like hit a dog in the head and it exploded, so that was kind of neat.
Naturally.
But like, you know, you get there and you take turns, like you swing your axe and the dog bites, and it's a Doom RPG. It's really interesting the way they kind of combined those two things. I just don't know why.
Just because you could doesn't mean you should.
Yeah, I mean, how did they come up with that? How did they think to themselves, you know what we need to do? We need to make Doom, but in an RPG form, and we need to put it on a cell phone. Like, it doesn't add up to me, especially because it's all like modeled after the original game's graphics. So who is it for? Like, what was the...
Yeah.
What was the intended audience?
Because it wasn't us, I don't think. Maybe it was us, and they...
Well, if it was us, then they did not do a good job.
They severely missed the mark.
Yes, they did not do a very good job. But, those are things that exist. So, way to go out on a low note. I should have talked about those earlier, because... Yeah. I'm all out of Doom to talk about. I mean, I could talk more about how much I love the original Doom. And
I wasn't sure that you did. I don't think anybody really caught on to that, though, Chris.
You know what was like? It always used to like really gross me out in the original Doom. Like, so Doom Guy's head is down on the bottom of the screen,
yeah,
right? And as you take damage in the game, like, he's getting more and more fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
But like, the very like last one before you die is so grotesque because like the skin is peeling off his forehead and like flopping down over his eyes. And it's always creeped me out because it's just so gross.
It's pretty gross.
But on the other end of the spectrum, the cacodemons, the big floating red orb guys that look like squishy.
Awesome.
That not only are they awesome, but they have the best death sound of anything in the history of ever. Because for some fucking reason, they don't like scream or fall in agony. They go... I used to hunt those things down and kill them just for the sake of listening to that sound because it is hysterical.
Just for the noise.
God damn.
It really is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
It is.
Doom really is great.
I love Doom. And, you know, when you think of Halloween games and, like, Halloween-style stuff, you think of spooky, scary things. And I you shouldn't overlook the...
just ridiculously violent horror. You shouldn't overlook that stuff. When thinking about Halloween scary stuff, don't ignore the overt violence of Doom, because it's wonderful and glorious and red.
And red. Redder red. Than red.
God damn, I love Doom. All right, any final thoughts?
No, I think we've covered it.
I think so, too. All right, then that's our show. Join us next week when Dan and I will be continuing our 31 Days of Halloween retrospective series by discussing the Splatterhouse series.
Yes.
I picked that one because of Dan, because I know he loves Splatterhouse.
So excited.
Once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram @Geekade, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content, follow us on Twitter @the_Geekade, and you can also find us individually on Twitter. I'm @GeekadeChris, that's Geekade, K-R-I-S, and Dan, you are
at Splatterhouse.
At Splatterhouse Dan.
at Geekade Dan.
Splatterhouse.com.
Splatterhouse.com.
If you're interested in more information about Splatterhouse,
why wouldn't you be?
But if you're in,
the best game ever.
If you're interested
in
more information about anything we discussed tonight, check out our show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes or Stitcher, where if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd also like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making the show listenable for all you folks.
Not this week.
Not this week.
Prick.
Bastards at Comic-Con. And we'd also like to thank, I think Dean's going to edit it, because I don't know if I'm going to do it.
That seems like a terrible idea.
Hey, he offered, and if he's going to offer, I'm going to take him up on it.
Remember
when Dean used to do this bit at the end of the show? He'd say, Dean, do the thing. He'd be like, show notes.
Show notes. It was so professional back. That's what I think is missing from the show now, is a certain level of professionalism. That,
a certain level of Dean shouting shit.
That you and I just don't bring.
We just don't.
We really don't. I mean, it's a bunch of hogwash.
But if you do want to listen to Dean shout shit, he's got his very own podcast, Vest and Friends.
Where he shouts shit.
He shouts shit. He does, because he's Dean. So give that a listen. He talks about video games sometimes, too. So if you miss Dean, he's still around. He's just not on this show. He does other shows. He does all kinds of shows. He's a busy guy.
They're not great.
Check out Vest and Friends.
I mean,
come now. I find him very entertaining.
I do too. I love me some Dean.
I love me.
I'm
going to
be in his wedding. We planned out a whole thing. He hasn't proposed to her or anything, but the whole thing's been planned out. Going to be there.
I'll be at home editing podcasts.
You will be. Yeah, you weren't invited. You didn't make the cut. Sorry, Chris.
Damn. Anyway, we'd also like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme song. You can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, or SoundCamp and BandCloud, whatever you
either
like.
One.
Or his website, which we have a link to in the show notes. Again, always remember to keep your eyes on geekade.com for even more fresh original content, where we try to post things every single day. Unless Dan decides not to love wrestling one
week. Yeah, it happens when it's his birthday weekend and stuff is going on.
And he cannot be pissed. He cannot be buggered to let me know.
I know, because I'm a fucking terrible person.
That's it, everybody. On behalf of Dan and myself, and Dan, Dean, and Evan, and Matt Much, keep playing games.